Hey, welcome to Havelist Podcast. I'm Ben Cunnington, and today we're diving deep into the intersection of faith and business. Get ready for a mind-bending journey as we kick off a two-part series on making brilliant business decisions and money by hearing God's voice. We have some really great special guests. You're going to love them, but this isn't your typical business advice. We're tapping into the divine to guide our entrepreneurial endeavors. So get ready to have your beliefs challenged and your perspective shifted as we explore what it means to listen to God in the boardroom. This episode may leave you scratching your head in disbelief or perhaps spark a divine curiosity. We're continuing our series around the topic of created to hear God. And while you're at it, don't forget to grab Havelah's book, Created to Hear God. You can grab it at createdtohearGod.com or wherever books are sold. And so get ready, lean in, put your headphones in, get ready to be inspired because today's episode, you're going to love it. All right, let's dive in.
Hey, it's Havelah. Welcome back to Havelah's podcast. Today, we're diving deep into the incredible topic of hearing God's voice and our series, Created to Hear God. Yep, we're in our second month, and I'm excited that you're here because we are going to hit it from a completely different angle. You know, we went through the knower, seer, feeler here. We answered some of your top questions in our last podcast. And on this episode, we're going to jump into hearing God's voice in business, hearing God's voice with ideas, branding, marketing, and the unique way in which God deposits these ideas that can create, well, wealth, it can create influence, and there's just so much here. I don't want to get into too much. So today, I've invited my friends Daniel and Ellis Madry to the podcast. So you may not know who they are, but I want you to just hear this. They are brilliant entrepreneurs. Yes, they have a curriculum company, a gaming company. We said they dabble in real estate, which you'll, when you hear them, you'll understand why I said it that way, because they have a great sense of humor. And they also took on a new big project of being directors of a nonprofit called Moral Revolution. Now, that might sound familiar to you because many years ago, Ben and I took on that same job role to be nonprofit directors of Moral Revolution. And then we had our friends, Cole and Kate. They did it for a season. And now Daniel and Ellis have come in to lead the nonprofit Moral Revolution as well. But they didn't come in as newbies. They actually have been quite successful in other areas, which we're going to talk about. But it was amazing because we actually started this conversation at a basketball game. We started this conversation at a basketball game talking about their lives, their journey. And I loved it because Daniel was like, Havelah, if I told you how God interacted in my life, you probably would not be okay with it. And I said, no, like I want to hear it. Not only am I from Bethel, but I do believe God interacts. And we began to have this conversation and I was like, you guys have to be on this podcast because to me, I kept feeling hope. As I was talking to them about how God was interacting in their lives, I kept feeling hope. So I want to welcome my friends and new to the podcast. Thank you for being here, Daniel and Ellis. Thank you for being here.
Havelah, thanks so much for having us. Yeah. We're glad to be here.
Yeah, really honored that you'd have us.
I know. And now listen, you guys are first newlyweds, right?
We are newlyweds. We have been married right over 2 years.
We just celebrated our 2-year anniversary, maybe 2 weeks ago.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. So 2 years. Did you guys know, how soon did you know that you were going to marry each other?
Oh, that's a very complicated question because we've technically known each other a long time. How long did we know we were going to marry each other? You know, whenever we started dating, probably. But I think there had always been kind of an interest there of, well, not always, but there was kind of an interest there for
so
some time.
So she hit on you for years and basically. You finally went, that's it.
That's yeah. it. That's exactly how it happened.
Chill out, girl. Come on.
Fine, I'll marry you. I love it. So 2 years and you guys are new to Reading where we live right now. But I, like I said, you being here is new, but you guys have had quite a couple years.
Yeah, it's been a really busy few years for us, but yeah. We're having a ton of fun.
Yeah, so let's start out basic with like, you're an entrepreneur. And did you start out together in that season, or how did you start as entrepreneurs? And I say that because you run multiple companies, you've lived multiple places, and you're quite successful at it. And it's, I know that sounds like everyone's successful online, but genuinely through the voice of God, it's been pretty profound. So how'd you start out?
Yeah, well, I would say both of us have a background in ministry, and that was like our heart. Like I would say, if you asked us each at 20, like, what are you going to do with your lives? Like, we're like, oh, we're going to be like, you know, like youth pastors, or, you know, we're going to do mission stuff, or, you know, somewhere in that vein. But, you know, the entrepreneurial journey started kind of in the midst of the ministry journey, where it's like, you know, you're picking up these skills and you're navigating life and you're getting older. And so it, for me, it was birthed out of this need of, hey, I love what I'm doing in ministry. I actually need to make some more money if I'm going to build a future for my family. And so it was kind of birthed out of a need, and then, you know, partnering with God from there.
Yeah, that is amazing. So you were at that point doing ministry, and you as well were doing ministry.
I was, yeah. So he was in Austin, Texas, or Louisiana at the time. I was living in Colorado Springs, working for a ministry there called Messenger International. Yes. And so, yeah, the first part of our entrepreneurial journey really starts with Daniel. He started the companies before we got married. And then I kind of, you know, joined a little later on in that journey.
She kind of came in and synergetically took us to the next level.
Oh, all right. That's good. That is, and I can see that even me, like, as we've talked about it, I'm like, oh, you are very smart and clear on that as well. So you started this journey to make more money, which I am, it's funny, in ministry, sometimes that can be like a taboo topic, mm-hmm. but I am so passionate about it because I, like you, was on staff. We made, you know, we didn't make a lot. We had all these kids. And I just felt like we've got to find ways to bring in revenue other than hoping other people will fund what's in our hearts.
Right.
And so I was passionate about that. Did you, when you started out, did you know what you were going to do, or did it just kind of come to you?
It was like, I'll tell you, the first time was the most interesting. I say the first time I got into, you know, an entrepreneurial venture, it was so interesting because I didn't think I could do it. I thought it was literally for everyone else, or like, you know, like, I think your dad has to own a business before you can have one, or something like that. I thought there was a prerequisite. But I remember just having this conversation with God, and I said, God, I know the season that you've called me into. I feel like I'm, you know, I'm doing your will. I'm doing the right thing. But at this point, I'm really not going to be able to make it. I said, you know, I felt like I had permission from the Lord to dream. And I said, okay, well, you know, if I was going to do something, what am I good at? Like, what is in my hands? What are the skills that I have that I could offer people? And I thought, you know what? I think I was a pretty good youth pastor. I remember whenever I was a youth pastor, I would, you know, other youth pastors would like reach out to me and they'd be like, hey, could we have a conversation? And so I was always kind of in that, you know, leading others in that sense. Like, and even on a more, you know, local church level, I wanted to invest in leaders. You know, I loved my students, but I really loved my leaders. And so I said, okay, I think maybe I could do something to help youth pastors. So for that first year, I literally was like, hey, you're a youth pastor. Is there anything you need help with? And they were like, no, this is weird. You know what I mean? And so I've got to let you know, like, upfront and honest, it did not start off as like, oh, this is what I'm going to do. I have a $1 million idea. This is a, you know, and I'm just going to be breaking barriers and, you know, making deposits. But it was a journey of saying, like, I'm going to do exactly what I know I can do. I'm going to put myself out there and offer things. And part of the, you know, part of the, maybe one of the mantras that I told myself is, do for free what you wish someone would pay you to do. And maybe if you do it for free long enough, you can make money at it. And so after about 10 months of just, I mean, I'm publishing blogs on my little website. I'm like reaching out to people. I like made a course that no one's ever seen. No one purchased it. Not one person purchased my course. I mean, I'm all but giving it away. And they're like, this is nice. This is nice. But I felt like I was really producing excellent work that no one wanted in the beginning. And I finally got to a place to where it's like, God, I've literally done everything I know how to do, and I think I'm going to quit unless I have some breakthrough. And so I was having my quiet time. I was having that honest conversation with God. And in that conversation, I just felt like, hey, you should reach out to this guy. And we had some ministry connections. He was in Oklahoma and connected to another, you know, church and movement out there. And so I was like, okay, well, I guess, you know, what could it hurt? We haven't spoken in a few years, but I reached out to him. And he was electric. He was like, bro, I've been seeing everything that you're doing online. Like, you're crushing it. Like, you're really, that's so cool. How about this? Our conference is coming up in a month. We wanna fly you out to conference. We'll put you in a hotel. And I would love it if you would just consult for us. And I was like, I would love to. That sounds great. And so, you know, I go out there. And I am terrified because I'm like, I don't belong here. Like, no one's paid me for anything yet, let alone paid for me to stay to help them. Although, let me say this, on the inside, I felt like I had value to offer. Mm-hmm. I just didn't feel like anyone thought I had value to offer. And so there was some insecurity there. So I get up there and I like give them like my name to get my credentials. And I'm like, you know, Daniel Madry. And they're like, oh, like, we don't see your name anywhere, all this stuff. And I'm like, no, I'm a fraud. I made all of this up. Like, this is terrible. It's the most embarrassing thing ever. And then, of course, you know, the guy, conference director, sorts it all out. They get me my credentials. They get me a hotel room. And I'm in that hotel room the night of, you know, my first consulting. And I'm about to go out there. And I remember I got out a note card. And I got, you know, a pencil, the little, you know, I'm sure it had the little hotel letterhead at the top. And I got out the co-branded pen. And I said, I belong in every room. Wow. And I tore that off and I stuck it in my pocket. And I went to the conference. I took great notes. Afterwards, there was a leader's dinner. I sat at the furthest table you could get from the action. The president of the movement came and sat at my table. The keynote speaker for that night came and sat at my table. And everyone who you would want to be with ended up finding me. And wow. I think part of it was God's hand. Like I was, you know, I can't do this. I'm not trying to put myself somewhere I don't belong. And God was like, I see you and I see your faithfulness. And that meeting right there ended up being the birthplace of the curriculum company that we would launch 2 months later.
That's where it all began.
Yeah.
I'm so struck with that. You write, I belong in every room. Like, it makes me emotional thinking about that and popping it in your pocket, getting there, still probably feeling a little awkward in this space. Like, what am I doing here? Sit far away. God starts to bring you these different individuals that are influencers, favor, really. Right. And so you have this blog, you are offering consulting, and that they brought you in to consult.
Right.
And they're consulting youth pastors at that point?
Well, I mean, they were like, hey, we want to take our conference to the next level. And we kind of knew from previous interactions that you have some organizational strengths. And so why don't you just come be a part of it? And then we'll debrief for about the next 3 days. So you can stay the whole week. We'll debrief. You can lead us in conversation. We'll do all this stuff. And it was in those conversations that I was looking at what they were doing. I was looking at what I was doing. And I was like, wait a second. I think I'm filling a need that they don't have. And they certainly have something that I don't have. And that was credibility. They were a, you know, 30-year plus organization in the youth ministry space. And so right there, you know, with the president in the room, I wrote all of these things down on the whiteboard, what they were doing, the strengths they had, what I was doing, the strengths I had, of course, after I'd kind of given some recommendations and things that they could do next year that, you know, I would recommend, but of course it was up to them. At the end of that, I said, right now, I was like, we're perfectly complementary. I was like, eventually we would be competitors, and I think we would be better if we worked together. And the president slaps his hand down on the table, and he's like, I love this. I think we should take what we're doing with curriculum and put it under your name. And so essentially, they gave me the keys. They literally gave me the back end to their website. And they said, you know, could you rebuild a lightweight version of this? Now, the longer reality of that is they ended up not feeling comfortable with it.
Sure.
With going right. through with it. But what they had given me is the key that I needed to move forward. And it's honestly to our benefit because not 2 years later, the organization did crumble. Right. But I feel like the Lord gave me the inheritance of like, hey, continue on with this part of it because this needs to last the lifetime.
Yeah. And the courage, like when someone sees you and even if you don't get the access, the fact that they would say, we want to give you the key. We think it's almost like they elevated you to a place where you could see yourself sitting at a table with them. And that's right. critical.
Right.
So you go in to start this website and it's for curriculum.
Right.
At this point, right? Mm-hmm. And you are publishing a blog. How are you trying to get this content out to people?
Well, this is the great thing. So I had $0 for marketing. I mean, I am.
You're a church guy.
Yeah, absolutely. Exactly. Well, and I didn't have a church job. I was traveling with an evangelist at the time, which I felt like that is what I'm supposed to be doing, which is why I said, well, I need a side hustle or something because traveling with an evangelist does not pay the bills at all.
I was raised by an evangelist and my dad always said we were at the bottom of the food chain.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And so I was praying one day and I said, God, we've launched the website. We've got, you know, 25 emails in our MailChimp. We have, you know, 4 subscribers at $25 a month. Can I get an amen,
amen.
In the back?
That's right.
And
it's revival, right yeah. there. Yeah.
And so, by the way, the first time someone paid me, I thought I just stole from this person. Like this is fraud. Like, so anyways, I said, God, how can I get the word out there? And I kept having this reoccurring thought and it was, why don't you make memes? And I was like, I can't make memes. Like, you know, every part of this journey feels like something that was just beyond the realm of what I thought I could do. And so I was like, I don't know. I can't make memes. After months, I tried my hand at like one and I was like, that got like 100 likes. That was huge for me.
Were
you
people
know?
Making memes at this point?
Yeah, there were.
It was a consistent
Yeah,
thing.
There were some memes out there, but you know, it was probably 6 years ago. So the landscape has certainly changed.
Yeah, it's been different back then.
Yeah.
That would have been more like cutting edge.
Yeah, exactly.
Meme making.
Well, and I thought this, if someone, you know, so we're a youth pastor company, Youth Pastor Co. is our company's name. I was like, if people are looking for leadership, they're probably not going to come to me. They don't know me. If people are looking for strategy, they're probably going to go somewhere else. I was like, but maybe I could bring them something that is of value, and that could be humor. Like, I understand their humor. So at least that's how I understood the assignment. And so probably the third or fourth meme I made went absolutely viral. I mean, millions of views. Before we had Reels, now millions of views are a little more still hard, but a little more attainable with Reels.
Facebook.
Yeah.
Now, there was a replays. It wasn't this where you're swiping
right.
things are just getting played. You'd have to click
and shares. We had like over 100,000 shares and all this stuff. And all of a sudden, our Instagram page gained 10,000 followers in a matter of, you know, a few weeks. And all of it was free marketing because I was kind of just leveraging like, what did I have in my hands meets, what do I feel like God's telling me to do next?
That's insane. 10,000 people join you. And I remember, I mean, that was the season I was on Facebook and it was a place where things were made. They were
right.
developed. It's miraculous. So then you go into, okay, I've got this curriculum that I'm creating.
Right.
And I don't know where the story comes in where we talked about, but I know there was a point when God spoke to you about this.
Yes. So what had happened is at the end of that first year, like I got to, you know, 12 months in, December of that year, I'm like barely making it. Like I'm like making it plus a little bit of credit card debt. And so I was sitting in, I call it my thinking chair. And in fact, whenever I sold this chair on Facebook, my only description for it was I had a really good idea in this chair that made me money. And someone was like, yo, I'll
That's
take that
amazing.
Chair. But that was like, that was my selling point. Like, I had a good idea in this chair, and maybe you will too. And so,
I love that. That is so funny.
Yeah. I was like, yeah, I don't know if the leather is
like
real.
My, I had a child conceived in this bed. Like, yeah. I'm like, I'm in. Yeah, I'm in. Like, that is like so wow.
You want this mattress.
You want this amazing.
Yeah. Like, my kid is great.
Right. I'm wealthy because of this piece of furniture. Yeah. Everyone's like, I'm in. I love it.
Yeah.
So
that
funny.
Was true. That was my selling point. It's the only thing I said about it. And it was gone in a day. But I was sitting in this chair, and because I'd gone into the meme world, I was kind of surfing some other, you know, creators in the space. And there was this one guy who really kind of rubbed me the wrong way, because he would kind of throw rocks at people that I really valued. And I don't really get defensive or protective over a ton of things. Like, I'm like kind of like, you know, water on a duck's back, like, doesn't matter. But they started throwing rocks at some spiritual leaders that were like, that's a man of God, and you're literally playing with fire, in my opinion. So it's the only like negative comment I've ever left on someone's page ever. Like, I don't even think I've left a bad review on Amazon. You know what I mean? I'm just like, no, they could do better next time, but 5 stars. And so I went to this guy's page and I clicked on his link in bio, and he was sold out of this jewel case of cards, and they were terribly designed. They were like icebreakers. And I remember just thinking, like, I could do something with cards. I could do way better than that. You know, I'm just like,
and a better heart, clearly.
Yeah, I was just like, to be honest, I was like hyping myself up. Like, I can't believe he's sold out of these $20 cards. That's so stupid. This looks terrible. Yeah, I'm just being cynical because I'm trying to protect my spiritual leaders. And then all of a sudden, this idea hits my mind so hard that it stopped me in my tracks. And the idea was essentially, what if there was a Christian version of like Cards Against Humanity? Mm-hmm. And I sat there in that moment and I was like, oh my gosh, I think I just heard the voice of God on that. That it literally felt so divine and weighty. It hit my mind with some like oomph. But I'm sitting there and I'm like, I have no idea how to create a game. I have no idea how to do manufacturing, distribution, anything like that. And I said, what am I going to do with this? And I sat there and rationalized it. And I said, if I do this and it fails, I'll know that I didn't hear God. If I don't do this, I'll never know. But if I do this and it's successful, I will know that I heard the voice of God.
Wow.
And so.
And you, wait, at that moment, this is your thought process. You literally are thinking.
Yes. No, I rationalized that in that very moment because I knew that that thought was so profound.
Yeah. So
that
clear.
It was not me. I was like, that was God. But that is so scary because I have no idea.
Because there's still risk.
Yeah.
There's still risk.
So, you know, long story short.
Although he got his wits about him, because a couple weeks later, it was Christmas, and we both were from the same hometown.
Yeah.
And he was like, hey, you want to go to coffee? And I was like, yeah, sure. And we meet up for coffee, and he said, Ellis, I had $1 million idea.
He did?
I did. I literally.
And you weren't married at this point.
No.
You were friends.
We weren't even dating. We were just friends.
And he said it. I had $1 million.
He said, I have $1 million idea. I think it was from God. And he laid out what the idea was. And I said, you're right.
That's, you knew it that at
is,
that moment.
That is $1 million idea.
Yeah. And then he put a ring on it. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. But that is, you had that sense.
Right. I really did.
Now, when you had the idea, because this is what I think of like as any entrepreneur in my own life, like, okay, I've got this idea. Did you go into research at that point?
Oh, I went into heavy, heavy research. I immediately bought Cards Against Humanity.
Sure.
I said, how many cars are there? What are they made out of? Who's their manufacturer? And then I started to kind of reverse engineer the cadence of the cards. So like, okay, I'm looking at, you know, 100 of these prompts. How are they grammatically formatted? Like, how is this? What kind of responses do we have besides absolutely terrible responses? They're
right.
Very bad.
Right.
I was like, are they one word? Are they two word? Are they nouns? Are they, you know, how is this constructed. And so I did all of this research and due diligence. And then kind of my first step was I need to reach out to them and make sure that I'm not going to get sued. And so I reach out to legal at Cards Against Humanity. And I was like, hey, guys, I had an idea for a game. It's played similarly to Cards Against Humanity, but it's more family friendly. That was the word that I used. Uh-huh. And I was like, I was just wondering, like, you know, I obviously want to honor what you guys built and not get in any legal trouble. I was like, could you let me know my parameters? And they got back to me and they were so kind about
it.
Yeah, they were very nice about it. They were like, hey, typically when someone wants to, you know,
you've been served.
Yeah. It's like, could you give us your mailing address? We're just going to send them.
Knock, knock, knock.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
Exactly. Hey, we have an email here.
That's right.
Could we search your closet?
Wait, what's going on here?
Yeah. And so anyways, and so they responded. They're like, yeah, typically if someone wants to, you know, make their riff off of our games, you need to look out for X, Y, and Z. You can't use this. You can't do that. You can't make it this color. You can't have that. And so I was like, okay, thanks. That was really helpful. And then now let me fast forward this real quick about probably 9 months into the future, getting near the holiday season of the following year, Cards Against Humanity releases Cards Against Humanity Family Edition. So at that time, I was really big into buying domains because it was in the beginning of my entrepreneurial journey.
Yes. I mean, I don't know any entrepreneur that doesn't go out and buy a couple domains. I have like seven of them. Yeah, it was just like, this is going to be something.
We're
right?
constantly on the hunt for domains.
Yeah,
we buy a new domain once a month.
It's $15. It's the deal, right?
If all of our businesses fail, we'll just make money off the domains we purchased.
That's right.
And so anyways, I go into the registrar to see when did they register Cards Against Humanity Family Edition.com. I think that's what it was. They registered it 3 days after the email I sent them.
No.
Yeah.
Wow.
So there's no proof.
So you called your attorney.
But there's exactly. But there's some circumstantial evidence. But I had the permission that I needed.
Yes.
So, you know, I got to work. I recruited a friend. By the way, let me say this. The friend who helped me get my curriculum company off the ground, he was this guy who's so enthusiastic about every idea I had that where I was in like self-doubt, like, I don't know, can we do that? He's like, oh yeah, we can do it. Here, let's try. And he would just like crush at everything I sent his way. And so
I'm so sorry. Let's go back. Was he a inventor? Was he an entrepreneur? Like, who is this guy?
He's a supporter. He's just a
cheerleader.
We actually met at the conference that I was at in Oklahoma.
Consulting.
Yeah, that I was consulting for.
Completely divine.
It was that conference. And so anyways, this guy was just hyped up on whatever I was, like, I started the Facebook page and he was like, oh bro, I love what you're doing. I'm gonna invite all the youth pastors I know to this. And I was like, cool. I was like, I'm thinking about doing curriculum. He's like, bro, that's the best idea ever. These graphics are awesome.
Can I get his number?
Let me say, he's still on our team and he is still that fantastic.
Yeah, everyone needs a hype girl. Like, my dad's my hype girl. Like, anytime I have an idea, he's like, it's incredible. And half the time it is.
Yeah.
But you need someone who's just championing you.
He
doesn't.
And we had no tenure other than he was just like, no, I think that's cool. I'll support it. And so everything I came to him with, he was like, oh, I love that. I can do that. And so I was like, hey, bro, I was thinking about making the Christian Cards Against Humanity. He's like, bro, I think that's a great idea. I can help you write that. And he was awesome at it. He was awesome at writing with me. And so him and I, we say we went to the dungeon. We went to the proverbial dungeon and just wrote cards on a spreadsheet for months. And so we write, we play test, we're having fun, we're staying up too late. And
not to stop you, but it's interesting that you didn't get discouraged when you saw the Cards of Humanity come out with a family edition.
Right.
It's interesting that you went, that's okay, I'm going to pivot, but I'm not going to stop.
Right.
Was there a party that didn't want to do that?
Well,
or did you kind of think I had
already started the forward motion on the cards before I saw what they were doing. And by the time I saw what they were doing, I knew that we were onto something. So it was really, it was not discouraging, but I will say this. We wrote about 70% of the game and then kind of stopped.
Yeah.
You know how like the first like 70 or 80% of any idea is like, we ordered the equipment, we're doing this, we got the logo, we started on the website, and then we stop. You know what I mean? And so I remember going back into the spreadsheet after a few months and looking at the cards and saying, I have to see this through. And I called Andrew and I was like, Andrew, I need you to open up that spreadsheet right now and fall back in love with the game because we got to finish it. And he did. He went back to the spreadsheet and he's like, all right, bro, let's go to the dungeon. Yeah. and so, you know, a few months later, we're like, okay, let's do a Kickstarter. That's the only way we knew how to get money for it. And so I spoke to the manufacturer. By the way, we use the same manufacturer as Cards Against Humanity and Exploding Kittens and all these other like very quality card games.
How did you know that?
In my research phase, I heard a podcast with the creator that was like launched in 2012. It was like, I think it was the first podcast ever. And, and actually I went back to their Kickstarter page where they initially raised $15,000 for the Cards Against Humanity game. And
how they started it?
Yeah, and they mentioned who their manufacturer was. So I reached out to them. It was still their manufacturer. And that's how we got connected to legal and stuff like that. And so I asked them this. I was so like timid. I was like, what's the smallest amount of numbers of games you guys will print?
Can we buy 5 sets?
I was like, I'm looking for like 100. And they're like, well, 500's the minimum order value and that's $12,500. And I was like, oh.
Okay, wait. You have to buy 500 sets
of the game
for 12,000 plus.
Yes.
And this is the leap.
Right. Okay. Well, the way my bank account is set up, no. So I'm going to need some outside funding.
So that's why you did the Kickstarter.
So we said, let's do a Kickstarter. And once again, we have no platform to like throw stuff at. You know, we're just like really bootstrapping it. So I like the night before, like I designed this Kickstarter page and then I realized it has to get approved. So then like 3 days later it gets approved. And my goal is $12,500. And this is what I said. I said, if I can raise 12,500 copies, dollars, that means I pre-sold 100 copies of the game. And I'll put the other 400 in my closet and give them away as gifts.
Wait, did you say that's publicly?
That's what I said to myself.
So it's so interesting. Like, you are negotiating with yourself.
Yeah.
Like, really. Like,
I'm hyping myself up.
Yeah, you are. And you're making plans. I'm sure there's all psychology of this as well. But just the idea, like, you are writing a note in your pocket.
Right.
You belong in every room. You are thinking, this is a god idea. I'm going to do this. I love the strategy. Like, I think so many of us don't understand that
right.
I'm going to start a spreadsheet. I'm going to ask a friend. We're going to start this. Like, so much of it is not the Lord just gave me in a dream. It's like, I have an idea, but then you went to work.
Right. It's like, what can I do? I know you can't produce, manufacture, and distribute a game, but what can you do? You can start a spreadsheet.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can reach out to you can listen to a podcast from the creator of the original game.
And then you said something which I think is very, for all creatives, and I'm sure you both agree, but it is the 80% done, walk away, and then walk back to it. There is something about the walk away that if you don't want to come back to it or you don't return, it was it.
Right.
And I've done
that. And it was fun. The first 80% is fun.
But my messages are that way. My books are that way. Even designing, like, it's always the walk away 80%.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's that final push that is really where the magic happens.
That last 20% is the hardest job ever.
It is.
Putting a bow on something to where you're proud enough to say, this is my final project product is not for the faint of heart.
I agree.
You have to have grit.
You do. And you need an Andrew.
Yeah. And Andrew. And Andrew, if you're listening, we love you. And so we launched the Kickstarter and it's like, you know, I was the first backer and I was like, yeah, I backed. And then it's
you
like,
were.
Yeah.
And so wait, guys,
so we have $35. Okay, I was like, I believe in me.
But this is, this is what it's like. Like, nobody understands this. Like, when I had my first subscription for my Truth Academy, I was the first. Like, right. People understand that you are faking it a little. You're believing, you're trying, you're doing it. So I love that you just, I'm the first backer. Let's do this.
Yeah, I believe in me.
I believe in
me. And to this day, I think you have been the first backer of every campaign we've run.
Well, Andrew beat me on the last campaign. but he deserves a win. So,
but this is the part that I don't think people understand is God speaks, and then you have to back it. You have to put your first $35 down. Like, right. People don't understand that there's a correlation of that. And you probably put $35 down on a few things that didn't happen. And so you're just... It's the favor. I want to say it's the favor takes a minute.
Right.
And so favor took you doing a year of blogs, nobody noticing, you think it's ridiculous. Someone flies you in, they don't even have your credentials. You sit at a table. Favor takes a minute to catch up.
Right.
And then once it hits, everyone goes, you're a genius. But they don't understand that you felt like an idiot for 8 months or 10 months before it's a thing.
That is such a good point.
Right.
It does take a while. And I think my self-belief and my self-doubt were at war.
Yes.
Because I knew how God designed me, but I did not know if I had it in me.
Fully.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Can I actually execute on this? And it did. It took a little while. And then, and then people start calling you. Just because you said yes,
that's right.
You know what I mean? You
but
just started taking
humility,
steps.
You're saying it took humility. If you think I got this, it's something about the fact that you are putting yourself out there. It takes humility
right.
to do that rather than I'll just figure this mm-hmm. out. Like, you are letting Andrew participate. Like, these are humbling things. Mm. This isn't like, I got this. You're like, let's try this. It's beautiful.
Well, and in fact, I was a big proponent of hiding behind logos and icons. So like, I don't personally have a huge footprint in terms of my own, call it a brand.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Any of the companies that we've created have all been around the company itself rather than you.
Right. And part of that was out of, if someone's going to shoot this thing down, trash my logo. Please don't trash me.
That's interesting.
And so, and I think the tide is turning to where self-confidence has caught up.
Yeah.
But the thing is, it's just like, I feel like it's like Moses and Aaron, though. Moses was called, but he's like, I can't do this. I stutter. I've got all these issues. And they're like, all right, Aaron, come on. Except in this case, it was Andrew.
Yeah.
Andrew was the mouthpiece.
I do like, and I think there are those that are listening right now, that cannot see themselves being influential because they don't want to be the person. They don't want to be the face. And I honestly think that this is also part of the plan of God sometimes, is that we do genius things, and
right.
it's a brand and a logo too. So I know you look at it as like, I was kind of hiding around it, but also I do think there are those that are listening that need to know that that is enough too. Like, God can speak to you, and it's not about you being on a platform or
right.
you being the face of it. It could be a genius because your your method was to invest and pay for the things that are in your heart. It wasn't to be famous.
Right.
Right? It wasn't to be known.
And I think about Andrew specifically because he's written over 100 curriculum that's been preached by thousands of youth pastors and, some tens of thousands of students who have heard his words.
Wow.
And
he's our lead content writer for context.
So wait, so Andrew stuck around.
Right.
Andrew
he's
was
still
doing
here.
The cards. He was doing the curriculums.
He's a content guy. You cannot know his last name. I will not give you his Instagram.
Right,
no
right.
email.
Oh, I'm prophetic. I'll just ask
yeah,
God.
No,
what's
yeah.
his number? No, but it's, I love what you're saying, because you're saying this man, his support and championing has allowed his voice
right.
to be duplicated.
To go so far.
Profound.
Where we needed each other. And together, we've accomplished so much more than we could apart. And I also want to rope in Cutie Girl.
I know.
Call her, I don't
even
like,
beautiful wife.
I don't like using the name Ellis, although I love the name Ellis. I call her Cutie Girl. But, Ellis has had a prolific role in the growth of our company in the last few years. And I want to touch on that. I know we're probably a little more strict
good.
For time.
But no, I want to know, you do this card thing.
Right.
You guys had coffee. You know he's got this $1 million idea. You're in the dungeon working on it. You
right.
produce it. You get the Kickstarter.
Yes.
You get this card thing out there.
Yes.
And then when does your cutie pie enter the room, because it is true. Like, talking to both of you, I would not have known that she wasn't in the origin, because she's a very brilliant and bright business.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, she's a strategist. So how did that all work?
Well, let me say this, because
let me guess. Andrew introduced you.
No. I don't want. Andrew encouraged me.
Andrew's her brother.
Let me say this. I don't want to overshadow the God moment of the Kickstarter, though. And then I do.
I want to hop
into Ellis's role in this. That first day, you know, I backed the campaign. My mom backed the campaign. Andrew backed the campaign. My sister backed the campaign. Probably Ellis backed the campaign. And then we're sitting there. We're just hitting refresh. And then it's like, oh, yeah, like, I'm you know, that person knows me from Instagram. We're friends on Instagram, or the youth pastor that church. And then it's like, wait, who's that? Where did that name come from? Who are these people? Mm. And in that first day, we just never slowed down. And we ended up raising over $12,500 our first 24 hours.
What?
With no backing. Like, we had no influencers out there shouting out our
yeah.
campaigns or anything like that. That first day, we had met our goal.
Sovereign. Supernatural. Supernatural.
Exactly. It was a divine favor. You know, we could not replicate the success of that first campaign now with all of our
yes.
marketing and
yeah.
SMS.
And we've tried. Yeah. We have tried.
Yes. No, I get it.
And so by the end of that campaign, we had raised nearly $200,000.
I'm sorry. What?
And I mean, we're talking about, it changed everything.
So wait, does it not cap off at what you're raising? They just let you raise as much
as you
want?
So what happens is, if you raise less than that goal, everyone who backs gets their money back.
Actually, their cards are never charged. So you basically pledge a certain amount of money. And if the project meets its goal, everyone's card is charged at the end of the campaign. And if the project doesn't meet its goal, no one's card is ever charged.
And if they get charged, do they get the product?
Yes.
That's how we structure our campaign.
Although technically it's not legally binding because it's a pledge.
Oh.
But
all right.
But for the sake of integrity,
yeah.
most creators do for
them. We treat it as a pre-sale.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you kickstart, you could raise 200,000. Wait, how long did that take to raise that much?
30 days.
I'm sorry,
Yeah, and this is what's crazy. So in the midst of the campaign, we were like, we should add some expansion packs. So we added 3 different expansion packs so they could, you know, up their pledge and stuff like that. By the end of the campaign, we ordered 12,000 units of the main game and 15,000 expansion packs. We ordered more units of inventory by double than the dollars we were just trying to raise.
And this is before it's been in your hands?
Before we've even touched it.
Before the game is being finished written.
Right.
To be honest, we still had to finish the game.
Right. Yeah. And we laugh about that with our author coaches. That is the truth. Like, I've sold more things that are not done yet, because I know that I have the integrity that I will finish it.
Of course.
But there is this part that's like, that is wild.
Well,
and you're selling and you haven't even gotten it to anybody.
And here's kind of the beautiful thing about it is, for the first couple years, Cards Christians Like served as the silent investor for the curriculum company. So now the curriculum company could stand on its own 2 feet and they could be 2 completely separate things. But for those first few years, the curriculum company needed some help, some backing. And it was just like the Holy Spirit gave this divine idea and said, you know what, I can take care of the backing of the curriculum company that's going to reach the next generation with the truth of God's word by creating a game that's going to bring families and communities closer together as an alternative for something that would be, you know, just kind of trashy and awful into something that is, you know, wholesome and hilarious. And so it's like God. It's got his handprints all over it.
Yes. And you gave the name, because I don't know if our listeners heard that. So it's Cards Christians Like. And where did you end up selling that? Was that on Amazon or was it actually on a website?
So for the first 3 years, we were direct to consumer. So we've been selling it all by ourselves. We have a third party logistics company.
It's sold just on our website.
We sold it on our personal website. We have hardly invested money in marketing. In fact, we just started on Amazon maybe a year and a half ago, but it picked up steam maybe 8 months ago to where now it's half Amazon, half our storefront. Yeah. We hired we got poached by an Amazon ad agency and they're like, hey, we can't help but notice you have a ton of organic traffic. Maybe we could, put some, gasoline on it. And their ads have been a tremendous waste of money.
Yes. Yes, because favor is favor.
Yeah. I mean, it just needs itself, and not all products are like that. A lot of things, the ads really move the needle. But for this particular game, it's not like anyone stumbles on it because they're looking for a different Christian game.
Right. And I want to go back to what you said, Ellis, because that is very profound. God gives you an idea that funds the heart, but it's not the, and people miss this. God can give you a real estate experience. Like I remember God gave us a home that we had to sell a year later. It was our very first home and I was devastated, but that alone actually funded our video camera to do the next, it was there was a whole puzzle piece to it. And I feel like that's what people miss is they think it's gotta be that idea that's gotta fund it. And it's been a it's been a funder. I mean, and here it is, a table with Andrew. Andrew and you are this little Excel sheet, and that is the engine behind this curriculum.
Wow, what a ride that was. In this first part of our series, we've just started scratching the surface of the mysteries of making business decisions with the guidance of the divine. Stay tuned for part two next week, where we'll dive even deeper into this transformative topic. Remember, the journey to integrating spirituality into our work isn't always easy, but it's incredibly rewarding. Until next time, keep seeking, keep listening, and keep trusting in the wisdom of God that surrounds us. If you love this podcast, again, don't forget to subscribe. And don't forget, we love hearing your reviews. So leave us a rating, leave us a review. Havila always reads each and every one of them. We love to hear your feedback and what you want to hear more of, all of those things. So thanks again for listening to Havila's podcast, and we will see you next week.